Oh, yes. You know, with this new fire that's being released, there is a price. And one of the things the Lord brought to me is called sifted wheat. I thought, how much more sifting we need to go through? See, when we think we're there, we're not. When we think we've had enough sifting and challenges, we haven't. I think sometimes God works in the opposite. When you think you had enough, he says, no, you haven't had enough. When you say, Lord, I haven't had enough, he says, I think you've had enough. John chapter 3. Sifted wheat. You know who the wheat is, right? We are. You wheat heads. We're all wheat heads. In the military, they call them raisin heads. When you first go into boot camp, because, you know, if you're up north boot camp in the Navy, you kind of look like a raisin head because you got a shaved head and you got to wear these beanies to stay warm. So you become raisin heads. John 3, verse 1, please. Hallelujah. Yes, we are wheat heads. Let's speak it together. Everybody there? There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these things that you do unless God is with him. Jesus answered him and said, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, how can that man be born when he's old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? I think Jesus began to laugh, you know, because to him it was a joke, you know. And Jesus said, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said this to you. You must be born again. The wind blows what? The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the spirit. Nicodemus answered and said to him, how can these things be? Jesus answered and said to him, are you a teacher of Israel and do not know these things? Now that was a heavy-duty rebuke. Most assuredly, I say to you, we speak what we have known and testify what we have seen, and you do not receive our witness. If I had told you earthly things and you do not believe them, how will you believe if I tell you what? Heavenly things. Again, there's a difference between earthly things and heavenly things, isn't there? And there are many people that have fallen into a state of tradition and not relationship. Wheat, Jesus said, wheat. I'm going in the area to where we are the wheat, but there's an area where there's an old and there's a new. And everything is in a transition. Everything. Oh, happy days. Everybody okay? We're getting there, though. I'm trying to find another scripture. Praise God. Let's go to Matthew 3 and verse 1. Matthew 3 and verse 1. Poor Nicodemus, he thought he was doing the right thing. Not that he was doing the bad thing. He was just caught up in tradition. And, of course, he had to sneak to go see Jesus because he didn't want to get thrown out of the club, you know, the Sanhedrin club. He would lose his privileges to the jacuzzis and everything else. But, again, you know, Nicodemus had an opportunity to follow Jesus. And he chose not to and maintain his traditions. You know what he wanted to do? Please his wife. His wife was a tremendous influence. Matthew 3, verse 1, let's speak it. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord and make his path straight. Now John himself was clothed with camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Again, I've shared this before. This is where cereal came from. Amen? Locusts and honey. Locust was a nut. This is where they got nuts and honey. Then Jerusalem, all Judea, and all the region around the Jordan went out to him and were baptized by him in the Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming, he baptized, he said to them, brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Therefore, bear fruits worthy of repentance. And do not think to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. For I say to you that God is able to raise up children to Abraham from these stones. And even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which does not bear fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Indeed, I baptize you with water unto repentance. But he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clean out his threshing floor and gather his what? His wheat into the barn. But he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire, wheat. So God is beginning to separate the wheat from the chaff. Amen. Again, how does that happen? Sifting. Everything has to be sifted. In Luke 22:31. Sifted wheat. Everybody there? Anybody there? Praise God. Woohoo! New fire! Who needs heat in your house? You're the fire. Don't raise your hand. You need heat in the house. You're the fire. Luke 22:31, let's speak it. And the Lord, Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. When you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. Now that's a powerful statement. He says, look, Satan's going to sift you, bro. You're going to go through hell on earth. You're going to become shamed, guilty, condemned, self-condemning. Everything that you can think of is going to be attached to you. But I'm praying for you. Let me tell you, if Jesus is praying for you, you're going to be freed up. And suddenly he says, well, what's the thing is, he says, in other words, it's simple. He said, basically, I'm going to free you, so just hang tough. And when you get freed up, come back and help and minister to your brothers and tell them what you've been through. Amen? But again, he told them that. He told them, I'm going to free you anyway. I'm praying for you. But so many people don't get this. See, every time people are going through stuff, they still think they're stuck there. That's why we go through it. We don't stay there. But he said to him, Lord, I am ready to go with you, both to prison and to death. Jesus knows it all. And he said to him, I tell you, Peter, the rooster shall not crow this day before you will deny me three times that you know me. You're going to deny that you even know me. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? Peter thought, man, you know what? Again, Peter thought he was ready, didn't he? Yeah, he thought he was ready. Even when you think you're ready, you're not ready. Only Jesus. Our readiness is in him, not us. Our readiness is not in what we know. It's in who you know. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 6. Oh, happy days. Thank you, Lord. Sifted wheat. You know, we've been talking for the last, I don't know how long now, about a lot of things that the body's going through. And everything, I really think that this is kind of like the building up is God's releasing more and more of his glory. God's releasing more and more of his power. God's releasing more of his fire. And he's letting us know that before, let me tell you, when that power comes upon us, because it's going to, we have to continue to be humble. You know? Like I said, I think it was the last time we were together, there's an area of holy arrogance. But it's nothing to do with you. It's just holy and righteous. That's that boldness that you have. Verse 6, now these things became our examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. And do not become idolaters as were some to them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Nor let us commit sexual immorality as some of them did. And in one day, 23,000 fell. Nor let us tempt Christ as some of them also tempted and were destroyed by serpents. Nor complain as some of them also complained and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now all these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. Therefore let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he what? Falls. No temptation is overtaking you such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with the temptation will also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. So many times people reject the escape while they're going through the stuff. And when they do, they get deeper into the stuff. But God's not giving up on them for the way of escape. It just takes longer for them to come out until they finally come to their senses and say, oh, I'm going to grab your hand and pull me out. This isn't working for me. Amen. So, you know, in this, they were overconfident in themselves. Again, they were overconfident in themselves. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. Hallelujah. Everybody there? Let's speak it. I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, convince, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires. Because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. And they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. Man, is that happening? Yeah, big time. But you be watchful in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist and fulfill your ministry, your call, and your purpose. Fulfill it. See, you don't have to go out and do anything. You just have to be an example. So many times the enemy convinces you that you got to go do something to please God. That's why it says it's not by works that we please him. We work to please him, but he's already pleased with us. We've been predestined, called, and purposed for his calling and everything he wants us to do. We already pleased him by just saying, yes, Lord, I accept you as Jesus Christ and Lord and Savior. You've already pleased him. Does it mean you're going to make a mistake? Yeah. I can guarantee you, everyone in this room, including myself, is going to make a mistake. Amen? But we're to what? Endure all afflictions. We're to endure. We're to burn through them. We're to overcome them, no matter what's going on. I don't care if you're sick. I don't care if you're broke. I don't care if you're broken. Only God can fix it. But that's where we got to stand on the word, that everything is going to work to the good. And you know it's going to work to the good if you're in position. But if you're not in position, you're struggling. Because the enemy's still attacking you with negativity, fiery darts, doubt, fear, unbelief. Until you finally get in a position where you're sealed, where you're protected. Amen? 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12. Hallelujah. I read a testimony a while back, and one of the things was this woman went to a meeting, and she had a tumor on her forehead, and the preacher prayed for her and said, "You're healed," and she accepted that she was healed, and she went home, and for days she would get up and say, thank the Lord that she was healed. And in her vision, in her sight, that tumor was gone. And so she got up one morning, her mother had a friend over, and the friend asked her how she was doing. She says, "I'm fine, I'm healed." And her mother got upset. "Why do you keep telling everybody you're healed? When you're not healed, it's still there." And she got up, walked away, and went to the bathroom and looked in the mirror and said, "Lord, show them that I'm healed. I know I'm healed." And the tumor disappeared. And she was able to walk out and see, "I told you so." Again, but how you see things is vitally important. That's the same thing as a man thinks, so he is. How you see things in the spirit is vitally important. How you pray is vitally important. You don't pray blind, you pray seeing in the spirit. When you're attacking, you see it. That's called faith, activated faith, destructive faith on your enemy. Amen. Verse 12, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12. "Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you." Oh, come on. You know it's the same thing over and over. "But what? Rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, and when his glory is revealed, you also may be glad with his exceeding joy. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the spirit of glory in our God rests upon you. On their part he's blasphemed, but on your part he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, thief, or evildoer, or as a busybody in other people's matters. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this matter. For the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God. And if it begins with us first, what will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God? So how is judgment coming? Sifting. God isn't condemning us. His wrath not coming. He's chastening us through judgment. Now, if a righteous one is scarcely saved, where will the ungodly and the sinner appear? Therefore, let those who suffer according to the will of God commit their souls to him in doing good as to a faithful creator. Oh, I love it. Praise God. Fiery trials. Everybody's going through them, you know, and they're going to increase. Why? Because there's more and more judgment. There's more and more things happening. There's more and more corruption being exposed. So corruption itself, even of the enemy, is going to ripple effect towards us, but it won't touch us. Somebody understand it. It won't touch us, but it's like if you're in the boat somewhere, and the waves are crazy, but some of the boats can't handle it, and they're flipping, but your boat won't. You're in the ship of salvation. Amen? Praise God. John chapter 12, verse 23. John 12, 23. Sifted wheat. Everybody say, I love to be sifted. I love to suffer. Oh, yeah. That's why we don't have a lot of people here. You know that, right? They think this pastor is crazy, man. I ain't going to that church. They love to suffer. Thank you, Lord, for suffering. Praise God. 12, what did I say? 13, 23. Everybody there? But Jesus answered him, saying, the hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Most assuredly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. Everyone would say it's a good day to die. Yes, we die daily. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Proverbs 20, verse 26. Proverbs 20, verse 26. Hallelujah. It says, a wise king sifts out the wicked and brings the threshing wheel over them. Wow. So, again, God is our wise king, and he's sifting out the wicked. He's sifting out the things that are offensive to him from each and every one of us. And he's also sifting out and exposing all the wicked globally. The world's in the sifter. God's got the two big hands. Remember, the whole world's in his hand. Amen. The whole universe, everything. He's sifting. Everything's being shaken on heaven and in earth. He's the holy sifter. Praise God. Psalm 34, verse 17. No, let's go to 2 Corinthians 4, 16. I'm sorry. It's a good day to sift. Second Corinthians 4, verse 16. Hallelujah. Let's speak it, please. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. for our light affliction. Everyone say light affliction, which is but for a moment, even though it seems like sometimes forever, is working for us a far more exceedingly eternal weight of glory. See, that's why we love it. It's working for us. While we do not look at the things that are what? Seen, but the things which are not seen. For if the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are what? Eternal. So we're not looking at them. You see, these are light afflictions that we go through, even though they feel heavy duty. Amen? Is there anything impossible for God? No. Oh, God, I don't know what you're going to do with this. You don't have to know. You just got to trust him. You know, quit thinking about all of this stuff. Don't go there. We have a good teaching on that one. And who told you that? If people would just listen to those two teachings every day, man, they'd walk in freedom. Glory to God. Psalm 34, 17. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Psalm 34, verse 17, and let's speak it for the arms of the... Wait a minute, I'm in the wrong place. I'm close, though. 34. Thank you, Jesus. The righteous do what? They cry out, and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. Okay, just tattoo yourself on the forehead with the scripture, and when you look in the mirror, make sure you do it the other way. You can read it. Again, does everybody get it? The righteous cry out, the Lord hears and delivers them out of... he didn't say some. And it didn't say maybe. It says he does it. And he can't lie. The problem is that we have is he doesn't do it in our time. Because we love to suffer, so he does it in his time. The Lord is near to those who have a what? A broken heart. Now there is humble. And save such as have a contrite spirit. I love it. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. But the what? The Lord delivers him out of only what he feels like. All of them. He delivers them out of all. He guards all their bones. And not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and those who hate the righteous shall be condemned. The Lord redeems the soul of his servants, and none of those who trust in him shall be condemned. Snap. The Lord delivers. The Lord delivers. Amen. James chapter 1, verse 2. Now, God's not Uber. He delivers the souls of individuals. James chapter 1, verse 2. Your favorite scripture. Glory to God. Because we love afflictions and suffering, you know. We're being sifted for brand new fire. Verse 2, let's speak it. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Now, I want you to know that brethren means men and women. So you girls can't get away with this. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. Let patience have its perfect work. Whoa, what's patience? Endurance. It's endurance. that you may be perfect, complete, and lacking nothing. Now, come on, now think about this. So your patience, your enduring, all the things is perfecting you. So that you lack what? Nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. For he's what? Double-minded man and unstable in all his ways. And there are many people who have fallen into double-mindedness. And they're now unstable. But we're to count it all joy no matter what. Because we know it's working to the good. Oh, 1 Peter chapter 5. And verse 5, we know the scripture quite well. Been preaching it for 30 years. Yes. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders or the more mature. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another or respect one another. And be clothed with what? Humility. God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. That takes endurance, doesn't it? Casting your care upon him, for when he what? He cares for you. Quit trying to fix yourself. Hallelujah. Be sober, which means what? Alert. Be vigilant, which means what? Consistent. Because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he can devour. It says, resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. So you're not the only one going through it. And when you feel like you're the only one going through it, stop it. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory, amen, by Christ Jesus, after you have what? Oh, snap. After you suffer a while, what's going to happen? It's going to be perfect, establish, strengthen, and then what? Settle you so you can't be moved. And to him be glory and dominion forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. Sifted wheat. Hallelujah. We there yet? 2 Corinthians 4, verse 7. Let's speak it. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. We are what? Hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So then death is working in us, but life in you. And since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believe and therefore I spoke, we also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and will present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that grace, having spread through the many, may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. Love it. We are earthen vessels of God's presence. We are carriers. We are the temples. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Hallelujah. First 1 Peter 1:3. Is everybody there? Yeah? Cool? Hot? Let's speak it. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Are we in the last time? Well, it's going to be revealed. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by what? Various trials, sufferings, and afflictions. That the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to the praise and honor and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you love, though now you do not see him, yet believing you rejoice with joy inexpressibly and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Praise be to God. Romans 8:28. Oh, it's good to hear the pages turning on a Sunday morning. Romans 8:28. Glory. You know, as I was walking here, I was thinking, where do I live in Florida? It sure was reminding me of the days I went living up north. Verse 28, we know that all things work together for good to those who have loved God, to those who are called according to his purpose. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. Whom he justified, these he also glorified. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall we not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen. Who is he who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us? Thank you, Jesus. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword or affliction or suffering? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Now, that almost doesn't make sense, does it, in some circumstances? You try to give this to the world, it's going to go, what? Think about this. For your sake, we're killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors. Through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. His love is continuously for us, but the enemy wants to convince us while we're being sifted that God don't love us. How can you let this happen if you love me? And he says, I'm letting it happen because I do love you. Hallelujah. And we're going to close at Revelation 22, verse 12. Sifted wheat. Woohoo! 22:12. And behold, I am coming, says the Lord, quickly, and my reward is with me, to give to everyone according to his work. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life, and may enter through the gates into the city. But outside are dogs and sorcerers and sexual immoral and murderers and idolaters, whoever loves and practices a lie. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. Let whom who hears, come. Let whom who thirsts, come. Whoever desires, let him come. Take water of life freely. Yes, take the water of life freely. Now, that we do. Every time we come together, what do? We're taking the water of life. We're drinking of the Spirit. That's what's so important about worship. That's where so many people do not get it. Again, without God's presence, we can do nothing. It's his presence that sustains us. The further somebody is kept from God's presence, the worse they get. Amen? Again, people, you can't stay away from God's presence. And he doesn't chase you. You got to chase him. He already chased you and caught you. After he catches you, then he cleans you, just like fishing. He's the great fisherman. Amen. And then he cooks you by suffering and afflictions. Hallelujah. But you're very tasty to him. He loves you very much. Praise God. And he has a little seasoning and everything else he needs, you know. Hallelujah. Father, we are just honored and blessed. We thank you for the joy. The Lord is our strength. We thank you. We thank you for the sifting, knowing that you love us and that you're there for us. And you won't give us anything more than we can handle. Help us never to deny the way of escape that you've granted us. Help us, Lord, as we go through these trials and prepare for the new fire that's being released. New fire, fresh anointing, open doors, more glory, more power, and more of a witness for your glory in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen.